97.5 The Fanatic, D-Line, I'm with you on this Saturday afternoon. Taking over for Jason Martinez. We got some fun things in store for today. Let's see. Let's start. Well, had a great Friday afternoon conversation with Brett Brown and other members of the media. And so we all got on Zoom and talked for about an hour yesterday. So that was really fun. And we'll share some of those clips with you. And I'll try to answer any of your questions because I can't give you the whole hour of the conversation. But if you want to know some of the things we talked about, fire away. You know, what are the possibilities of resuming the season? What kind of conversations are taking place? What are his feelings about his own team? People staying in shape? Training camp, what would be necessary? What he thinks how the season will unfold, if it unfolds. So all of that. And then I have a couple fun things about Joel and Ben in particular. And, of course, how to get his take on The Last Dance. So we have that. We also have, I would call it baseball news. Kind of twice, really. Bryce Harper's name came up in the last 24 hours. One, he kind of put on his commissioner's cap, if you will, and mapped out how he would have the season unfold, and it would be 135 games. I'm getting up his rules here. Sorry. I got that little toss in between anymore. Tyler Zuli is with me again this week. It just never seems like enough time, Tyler, when we're trying to be clean and wiping everything down. But anyhow, Harper puts on his baseball cap, or commissioner's cap, I'll say, and it would equal a season that starts on July 1. It would be 135 game schedule. It would end in mid-November. And there would be an off day every second Monday. Sundays, this was my favorite, would feature 7-inning doubleheaders. Teams would have 30-man rosters with 6-man rotations. And that one I wanted to ask you about, Tyler. And there would be a universal DH as a possibility. Here's the best. The postseason. 2-week World Series tournament, 10 teams, round-robin format, winner of 3-game set moves on, loser plays in a single-game elimination, and it would be hosted at, I did not know this field in Texas, but Globe Life Field in Texas, or somewhere in Las Vegas. And the other part of this would go impact the following two seasons, just that they would push back opening day. So in 2021, it would start May 1st. In 2022, April 1st. So you kind of aren't getting it all back at once, but you're implementing something that is doable for this year, and you're cognizant of needing time, so that would push back the following year, and then you should be back on schedule by 2022. Tyler, what does he mean by the 6-man rotation? Oh, meaning pitching-wise, as opposed to 5 normally. And I'm assuming that's because
the truncated schedule and playing doubleheaders
I got you. The 6-man rotation. Would 6 be enough?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking
7.
I'd like to believe so, but I mean, this has become such a micromanaged league. That yeah. 5 is oftentimes not enough. And I mean, there's a lot of teams, and you saw the Phillies do it a couple times this past season. Now it was Gabe Kapler's doing, but there's a lot of teams that are going to what is that opener.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's kind of like a 6 starter.
Yeah. Well, if you're in that case, maybe you would even say 7, also because you're off every other Monday and the doubleheaders on Sunday. Yeah. Or you're just using your bullpen more. I don't know which. All right, so that's one way that Harper was in the news, playing commissioner, and I love it. Now, it's easy because he's mapped it out, he's thought it out, but he doesn't have to deal with, well, 1, TV, 2, he does not address the how people are getting paid, because that's been the controversy, and that's look, the revenue is not the same. We get it. But contracts, it's like how you invest your money. If you know, something happens and the company you invest in tanks, you know, it was a risk on your part. And so I get the part of players who are saying, look, I still need to be paid. And to take a cut is one way, yes, but to then take even further cut. And I'm trying to think, it was the guy from Houston who came out and I think it was from Houston and basically was just saying how far down the road do we have to take the hit because owners are still going to make money. So that was another thing. And Harper had his back on that saying, you know, hey, somebody has to say it because it starts a conversation. So I know the beginning this. Let's see, the 15th was the first paycheck that the NBA players received that had the 25% less and that money going into escrow. So that part of this conversation is now going to be real. Before it was talked about that people were going to have to take less money. We know that organizations in terms of their staff have come out and say, you know, the Phillies through till October are taking care of people. And we know that, well, the NBA did that with their staffs as well. So, but now you're going to see revenue part of this become part of the conversation. And as a matter of fact, Ken Rosenthal put out the 67-page document that baseball sent over to its Players Association of how they would do a season with safety rules in place. And, you know, some of the things, I'll just go with what was highlighted, but 67 pages is a lot. Teams will not physically exchange lineup cards. That'll be submitted using an app. That's an easy one for me. And I think some of this is making some just smart moves that technology has allowed for us, and it's time that we catch up with it. So players must wear masks unless on the field of play, while non-playing personnel must wear masks at all times. New baseball is used after a ball is in play and touched by multiple players. So, and I would assume when you throw the new one in there, the old ones can be used again after they go through some kind of cleaning. It's just not going to be in that game. So it's not a total waste. Players stand 6 feet apart during the national anthem. Spring training rosters limited to 50 players. Spring games will start between 7 and 9 local time to limit exposure to extreme temperatures. No communal coolers or jugs. So now everybody has their own, and you just got to have a name on it. Hand washing recommended after every half inning or handling of equipment. Dugout to meet physical distancing needs, and rule changes for the season are pending. So, I mean, and that's just part of some of the things. I think I love that people are now creating real ways to do this. And I'm sure a lot of people did, as I did, got up this morning just to see live soccer because Germany did play live soccer today. And I was explaining to Tyler, one of the things I was so grateful for, they didn't pump in any weird noise. You could definitely hear them yelling to each other. And really the only added noise was when a goal was scored, they played great music. And, you know, you're not hugging or high-fiving, so the music and the reaction of the faces of teammates, I thought was really cool. And Dortmund won easily. That was a 4-0 score, but I, for one, felt like, and I'm not a huge soccer person, I always watch the World Cup, but I'm not really a, you know, week-to-week turn on the Premier League, but I will say this. I know at one of the places where I used to go to brunch, and, you know, the anticipation of the early NFL games, there were people in there before the NFL watchers wanting to, that was their regular thing, to go and watch the Premier League on Sunday mornings. And they'd sit at the bar just like people do for the American football. So I am sure being able to watch soccer today, and to me it didn't look any different. They have all the camera angles. They have all the reactions. And, you know, you see the they don't purposely take an overhead of the arena or that often. It's not an arena, you know, it's a stadium, that often, because, you know, there are no fans. So, you know, you don't get cutaways. Dortmund has those crazy fans and the yellow wall. So you didn't have that. But you did have, at the end of the game, kind of a salute to their fans. And it was done with social distancing and the whole team lining up and kind of doing what they would have done closer together towards the yellow wall, which has those crazy fans. So it was, I thought it was great. And to me, it was very entertaining. And now we're starting to see a little bit more of the mainstream. Like, as I said, I was like Jason, I didn't pay for the pay-per-view UFC, but a lot of people looked forward. That was the first that was out there. And the horse racing at the Arkansas Derby. And tomorrow, they're going to have the first time that live golf will be on TV with the Skins game down there at Seminole. And as a matter of fact, coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk to Brandel Chambly of the Golf Channel, and we'll get his take. It's very interesting. First of all, Seminole does not let cameras on its property. So this is the first time they've had a live broadcast at this particular course, and what a course it is. So it will be a charity Skins match, and it's Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson going, that team going up against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff, who won the NCAA championship in 2019, and he has one PGA tour event to his name. But clearly those two Oklahoma State golfers are the underdogs to the other two. But we'll go through the format, the money. Both teams are affiliated with a charity, but I do think that this Skins game is allowing the PGA, and I know only because I've, you know, have some friends at the Golf Channel, and in asking them to come on and just tell us how this will go down, and NBC Sports will air it as well. It's Golf Channel people, but NBC Sports will be where it airs. That they're having a rehearsal, that there is Florida Health Organization that's involved in going through that rehearsal with them. There are no caddies, so you will be carrying your own bag. I doubt it'll be the big leather bags that normally those guys are used to having in a PGA event. Social distancing is definitely part of it. I don't know the end result of this, but right now all the golf courses have those noodles in the hole, so the ball does not go all the way to the bottom of the cup, so that when you're getting your ball out, people aren't touching that. Whether they have that for this tournament, I don't know. But we'll go through the rules, because the money is in the Skins game, but there's some separate things as well, like closest to the pin, longest drive, that can also win money separately. And all of this is going to go to charity. So that'll be fun, and I think it'll be great to watch, because the PGA is going to resume on June 11th with the Charles Schwab, and I think tournament. And I do think that they will use tomorrow's event as kind of a bit of a learning experience for them of how best to have their sport safely return and what that means. And of course, there will be no fans at this either. And as a matter of fact, most of the people who are involved in broadcasting are not on site. There are two reporters on site. Everybody else is doing any calling of that broadcast is from a remote location. So, you know, that's how things are going to be done now. Just limiting the number of people that are in contact with each other. So we'll talk to Brandel Chambly coming up, who once played on the tour as well. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. And then today marks the 40th anniversary, 40 years of the Lakers 1980 NBA championship that they won in this town behind the efforts of a rookie named Magic Johnson, and what a performance he had. But that team was coached by Paul Westhead, who, pride of West Catholic, coached at LaSalle, and he coached that team. So we're going to get Coach Westhead on the phone in the 6 o'clock hour to reminisce about 40 years ago, because I can't wait. I don't really remember him. I I remember seeing the post-game interviews, and that was funny, too. Rick Barry was the one who was interviewing Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was a kid. But Magic was a starting center in that game because Kareem was back in Los Angeles with a bum ankle. So I will enjoy talking to Coach Westhead about how he came up with that decision to start Magic at center. And certainly he was, you know, tall enough, but how he came to that from an X and O standpoint. And those were close games up until that game six, and then the Lakers just came in and ran away with it. So that will be fun to discuss as well. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's hit the phones, and our first person with us is Dave in Center City. Dave, what's going on? How are you today?
Why did you bring up that horrible memory?
Because it's
40 years.
Because
ago.
It's you know, part of the history, part of the.
What a lot of people probably don't realize was Jack McKinney started out the year as the Lakers head coach.
Yeah, he had a terrible bike accident in November of that year.
That is correct.
But in November, it was in November of that year. So I mean, Paul did coach the bulk of it.
Paul took over. Paul's a good guy. He, I love what he did with Loyola Marymount. But you know,
he won a WNBA championship too.
Did he really?
Yes, with the Phoenix Mercury.
Oh, that's good knowledge.
Yeah, that's a little knowledge.
Yeah, with Diana Taurasi. But my man stepped up big in that series, and that was Norm Nixon, Duquesne grad, much as myself. But I'm going to hit you with four easy questions.
Okay.
Yep. So we're assuming, according to Martinez, former A-team member, he's actually right on. We are going to have four sports. They're going to piecemeal the NBA and the NHL. And then we're going to have baseball, whatever. And then, of course, it looks like football season is going to go off without a snag. Give me, and this is easy as A, B, C, D. Give me the champions of each one of those sports this year. Let's start with basketball.
Give you the champion. I'm not going to do this because, number one, I want to see when they come back, what kind of training camp they have, if they realign. I mean, just to pick one is.
You have a crystal ball. Look into the crystal ball. Okay, LeBron gets his fourth title with the Lakers.
Why don't you just pick the four that you assume?
Let's go to hockey. Craig Berube goes back to back with the Blues.
Well, that would be a great story. I'm a big Craig Berube fan. What
baseball,
do you have the Flyers? Where do you have the Flyers making it to in that round?
They can't beat Tampa Bay.
No, I'm
Boston.
Not. All right, fair enough.
Go ahead. Hey.
And then in baseball?
Baseball, Dusty Baker has been brought on to manage the, or should I say, babysit the Astros.
Astros, yep.
Yeah, they prove that they were not cheating. They win the title, and the Lombardi Trophy comes back to Philadelphia. Doug Peterson shows either Andy Reid a lesson or Mike Vrabel a lesson in the Super Bowl.
I don't see that. The last one I disagree with. I think the others have. I'm going to also say Clippers get the better of the Lakers.
They can't.
Why?
Because
they can represent the West in the final.
I believe they got eliminated. And you went through it last week on your show.
Yeah, on the bracket.
You don't have them doing much, do you?
No, I don't have who doing much. I just said I think the Lakers.
The Clippers.
I said I thought the Clippers would get the better of the Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a Western Conference showdown, and I had that I was hoping for it, and I thought it was very possible before the pandemic even happened. And I said it would have been such a unique setting because here you're going to have, let's just say it goes seven games. Everybody sleeps in their own bed every night. And, yeah. And depending on whose quote home game it is, changes where the fans sit. Some of them, some games they have great seats. Some games they're, in the rafters.
You know, the cool dude, and this is how fast life comes at you. You know, the Sixers, Lakers, at Wells Fargo when LeBron passed Kobe, and yes. Then a few days later, Kobe passes away.
Yep.
And then the coronavirus. But Frank Vogel's a cool dude. I was staying at the Four Seasons that weekend, and Frank Vogel's from North Wildwood. I'm sorry, Wildwood Crest. He is a cool dude. I was.
Yeah, he's from down that way. He's a South Jersey guy.
So I told him, I said, when you and the Sixers hook up for the title, I said, we got to have a drink at the Jellyfish Cafe. So he starts, let me tell you something, young man. And I'm older than him. He said, you guys cannot be beat at Wells Fargo.
Well, and Dave, I appreciate the phone call. That's true. And that is one of the conversations we had with Brett Brown yesterday, that having for certain teams, maybe it wouldn't be as big a deal. For the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's not just him, his entire roster really believes that's a huge advantage for them. But you got to adjust. That's part of the conversation, that we're not going to have it. So we can't let that be like a crutch, no excuses for something that you would have made a difference, but you're not going to be able to use to your advantage. And that was a great part of the conversation. All right, we'll continue our conversation on the other side, but I got to give a shout out to Uncle Al in Belmar. I hope he's listening, because the Hall of Famer in New Jersey turned 82 today. And Uncle Al, happy birthday, safe and healthy days down the road. And I hope you get to the Los Angeles Olympics when you turn 90. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you along with Tyler Zuli. We'll be with you until 7 o'clock on this Saturday. So things starting to move a little bit, not just with cities reopening and a little bit more activity. NFL facilities are going to open on May 19th in places where that is allowed. You have to be in a state that's allowed. Also, in talking to Brett Brown yesterday, he seemed pretty upbeat about his players and planning for whatever direction the NBA decides that they will go. I thought there were two things that were important from the big picture standpoint, and then we'll get to some specifics of what he thinks about his own team. Big picture, and I would agree with him on this, he feels and they feel as a league that Adam Silver, they are in good hands with him, that he will make the right, responsible, smart decisions for their league that have the right input from the right people. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is he strongly believes that what the players want to do and feel safe to do will absolutely rule the roost. And by that, when you came out that LeBron said, because Steve Kerr had an interview a while back where he was talking that the Warriors had kind of moved on and were planning for next year. But in fairness, his team has 15 wins. So even if they come back, his point was more that there's not much they're going to be coming back for. Maybe there's 17 games left, and it's highly unlikely that you would play all 17 of those. And there have been many scenarios out there that you would maybe have a training camp and then pick up maybe just with the playoffs or some very small version of playing in if you were on the outside looking in, that you do that. So anyhow, that started a conversation that then LeBron, we want to play, and then others got involved of the NBA players wanting to play. And as Brett says, I think that's a big part of it. If you have, and that's why Adam Silver recently met with the Players Association, to because he does want to together best decide what is in store for them. But I do know this. The tone, and it was a really good conversation. Brett Brown sees this as unfinished business with this group, and that they were not good on the road up until this point. Absolutely. That they were amazing at home with only two losses. Absolutely. Did the Al Horford, Joel Embiid fit? At times, no. Were they still trying to work that out? Yes. Did he and Elton build this team for the postseason? Yes. And does he still believe that they would be successful in the postseason? Yes. And a lot of that goes to the length and their ability to defend, and that that goes a long way in the postseason. And in talking about his stars, I thought he was very candid in particular about Joel Embiid and what him being healthy would mean should a postseason happen this year for the Philadelphia 76ers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, I feel like this year what is he averaging 30 minutes, and last year he's at 34. Really, if the playoffs started you know, pick whatever date you want to choose, my ideal thing is I'd want to play him about 38 minutes. You know, I really would in a playoff situation. That as the head coach, like, that's my ideal number. In the regular season, you know, you bring him along, and so I think 30 was the number this year that he ended up. But possibly, John, and I feel like Joel is completely, and this is good, Joel is completely aware that kind of as he goes with his health and his fitness, we go. And
how about that? He wants to play him 38 minutes a game, which, let me just tell you, if you go to, you know, the stars, I guarantee you Iverson averaged that in his playoff runs, 38. And his point being, you know, that's fine. And 30 was the right number of what he was averaging when the whole shutdown happened this year. Last year, he averaged 34, as Brett hinted at. In the playoffs thus far in Joel Embiid's career, he's not been healthy enough. And so his minutes in the playoffs have been nowhere near 38. Let's see. Playoff minutes. Playoffs per game. The year where they lost to the Celtics, he averaged 35. And last year, it was only 30. But I loved two parts of that. That you want your best guy out there for as long as possible. And two, that Joel knows that team goes as far as his health and his conditioning. I mean, that's a strong statement. And that was, and I appreciated it. So I guess I would say to you, well, one, 38 minutes, I saw your eyes. You lit up, Tyler.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, too, like the way that we've come to know and expect Brett Brown's rotations, he's probably going to be off the floor for, I don't know, three or 4 minutes in the first quarter, right? That's usually how he operates.
So, in the regular season, right. That's how he's done it.
That's my thought. Just based on that, if that's the case, if it's three, even if it's 3 minutes in the first quarter, that means it's only going to be seven over the next three that he sits out of the game.
Well, I'm going to guess that what you think about when you think playoff basketball, one, the timeouts are longer.
Right.
Two, so now you take them out if it's a timeout-oriented one, or you take him out with 2 minutes to go in a quarter. Now he's sitting for those 2 minutes plus the time in between quarters, maybe 2 minutes to start the next quarter, and now you've only sat him for four, and he's had unbelievable rest.
Right, it's been like actually 10 or 12 minutes
at
of
least.
Real time.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, you know, I'm glad to know that, look, when that guy's been sidelined, they're a different team. Now, did Ben Simmons play well when he was recently sidelined in the regular season? And it could be, we saw, you know, Ben kind of rise as a leader. Absolutely. But you need Joel Embiid at his healthiest. And at one point, he did point out that because you're watching The Last Dance, that guys like Kawhi, Jordan, Kevin Durant, that these guys didn't win championships. He said 28, maybe one of them was 27, until they were that age in their career. And he quickly points out that, you know, Simmons is 23. And I find that I say to myself, oh my. And obviously Joel Embiid is 26, so Embiid's getting closer to where it's time. Now, he may say, well, he didn't have his first 2 years. That's not the point. The point is, from age-wise, you know, and how long you're at your peak, he's 26 and Simmons is 23. So any thoughts on playing a Joel Embiid? Would you imagine, can you imagine a series where you see Embiid average 38 minutes and to help his team advance or get closer to winning a series? And can that be done this year? So we have that about Joel Embiid. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting was him talking about The Last Dance. And in particular, The Last Dance, and how when you watch it and you watch today's guys, it's just different. And so here's Brett Brown on The Last Dance.
Because I've been doing this for so long, Yank, a lot of those, or some of the players on that team, you know, are my friends. You know, Luke Longley, Steve Kerr, and so then you step back and you watch, you know, this documentary that's kind of saved the day from a like a void perspective for all of us. And so you feel, you know, fairly aware of the backdrop. I have learned a lot. Some of it jaw-dropping stuff. Like you're looking at it and you didn't remember that, or you shouldn't have known that. I'm always interested to make parallels to, you know, my privileged life in San Antonio, where you won a bunch of championships, and now I'm watching another team win a bunch of championships, and, you know, maybe this will help answer the question that you've asked, like, what are the commonalities? And ultimately, I'm just blown away and reminded of just the maniacal competitiveness that Michael had. And, you know, the draft is going to be coming up, and we're all, you know, you need shooters, you need defensive people, you need somebody to compliment, pick them, Joe, Ben, whatever. Like, it's hard for me to go past just that human quality. Are you a sick competitor? Does it really bother you when you lose? And obviously, like, that part of that documentary, as we're watching it, how can that not be at the forefront of all of us as we judge, like, what do you think about this series, this documentary?
And basically, the best part of that is, how much does it hurt you to lose? And to even think that, I had somebody yesterday, I was playing golf and I was by myself, so I got paired up with people, and they said, watching The Last Dance, like, I wish basketball was still played like that. And I said, do you mean from the physicality? And that was a big part of it. But it's also that, like, you can see the, and I'm not saying there isn't a competitiveness to today's game, but maybe because the physicality was allowed in a different way, it looks so fierce of when you see playoff basketball back then. Like, you just want to, I mean, they put people on the ground, you know, whether it was the playing Bulls and the Pistons. So just to even have those conversations as a team about what they're seeing, and as he said, when you think about drafting, now all of a sudden you're reminded, having that competitiveness as an innate part of, you know, that should be at the top of your list. in addition to talent, of what you're looking for in potential draftees. So those were just a couple of the highlights of Brett Brown and what he's doing during this quarantine and going over how they can be better whenever that time comes around for NBA basketball to be played. Tyler, where did you say? I'm looking for the Quentin Dunbar, you say, has turned himself into the police.
Adam Schefter reported it.
So the Seattle Seahawks corner, who was facing counts of armed robbery, has now turned himself into the police. 610-632-0975. Baseball, well, a couple things happened with baseball. One, they've given the Players Association, baseball has, MLB, kind of a huge document of how the things that they would have in place so they could safely have the game come back. Bryce Harper had a nice outline, if he were commissioner, how he would play this season, 135 games. What your thoughts are on that. And also, I'd like to hear anybody who's looking forward to tomorrow's Skins game. And in particular, I've heard, you know, people even talking about, this is the first time I've really heard of wanting to possibly bet on these, the Skins game, because it's the first time there's real action again. So just in some, I have listed some of the different odds and the bets that are available for tomorrow's Skins game. And we'll talk about that on the other side. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A good Saturday afternoon to you. D-Line with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I was just going through, there's an article after soccer was played this morning in Germany for the first time, and it was kind of going through what the pluses and minuses. Actually, they had a whole list of games that were happening. I don't get FS2, otherwise I would have probably kept watching some of the live games. But they were saying how you could hear. I thought it was cool that you could hear players yelling stuff to each other. I preferred that naturalness than to, you know, pumping in something that you can tell isn't real. And pumping in noise when you see an empty stadium would have been odd, in my opinion. But the actual overall soccer, I thought, was pretty good. And Tyler, as you said, everybody's kind of having to make some adjustments. So one of the things that their league has made is that you can make a greater number of substitutions in a game, which was absolutely utilized today. And I think a lot of that has to do with that you haven't been playing and to try to keep people safe and fresh. But there was no handshaking. Even when they announced people coming through the tunnel, they were one at a time coming through the tunnel. And if you were a substitute, you did sit on the side and have a mask. Now, I thought it was interesting. The one head coach did not wear a mask, and everybody else had a mask on. I don't know how that was an exception to the rule, but
wonder if there'll be any backlash for it.
I don't know. I mean, I know even when you watch the briefings of the White House, you know, yesterday I saw where it was like half and half. So, yeah, I do know in this German league, it does specifically say those who are on the bench. Now, the coach is walking the sideline. So I guess on his technicality, he could say, well, I'm not sitting on the bench and I'm constantly moving away from anybody. So I guess that's a possibility. But nobody, that's not in in this article. And I didn't, I tried to see, but immediately they went to something else when the game was done. I was curious if there would be any kind of, because there's no media there. So I would assume the way media will now start covering and get post-game quotes is it won't be immediately, but I would assume at some point you'd do a Zoom call, and or you have a call to what they would call a pool reporter that would then share the quotes with everybody, and you do it with one person and just give it to the beat writers. But that was not made available because they were on to whatever their next programming was. But I thought it was good. And obviously I come looking at it from, yes, an entertainment standpoint, but also looking at the broadcast, because I find that interesting as well. And then the third element for me is to look at it from a safety standpoint. I know I saw a tweet from Mark Zumoff, who calls the Philadelphia 76ers TV games. And he says, God, I hope this works, because he had watched the game. And when I know exactly what he means, I hope this ends up being safe and that people can do this. Because there was testing done for those who are participating in this league. And that was the other interesting part. So I don't know how many teams are in this league. I'll have to go back and look. But I do know that 0.4% was the amount of testing that was available to the country that they used to get the soccer league up and running. 0.4%, so less than 1%.
There are 18 teams in the Bundesliga.
Okay, so but that's how much testing is available in their country. That if you're only using 0.4%, and the president of the league said, this is all in an article prior to today's play taking place. So basically, of those 18 teams, 10 people had tested positive. They had to go home. I say of the teams and the people that were running it. And I believe one team had to go home and will be rescheduled to play because they had three on their team, and therefore they then had to quarantine all of them. But that president of that league has been contacted by a number of people, whether he said NHL, NFL, the NBA, all with so many questions and how they were going about it. So when I say that you see on Twitter people saying, I hope this works, it because if something looks like it's not working and numbers spike, everybody knows, and even the president of this league said, we know it comes to a halt instantly. And I found that, you know, again, that's why I come from it at three angles. The entertainment standpoint of just watching live sports. The broadcast standpoint, just to see how they pull it off. And is it entertaining for the person who now is watching it at home and watching people play but in an empty building? And then three, the safety of everybody, which is always first and foremost in terms of what's best. But it really does, the testing part of it was fascinating to me. That president said what would be necessary in the states and where the states are, like they're just not there yet. That was this guy's opinion. When he's just had these conversations. So, but all of that took place before these matches actually, you know, happened, and temperatures taken and tests and all of it. So it's definitely been an education in listening and watching, but also for those people involved. And actually in this article that talks about what was done, you know, the social distancing and whatnot, but if you think there was no physical contact, there just is in playing the sport. So all that you put in place does not take that part out. And so even the testing, if somebody is asymptomatic, the test should show that they would still be test positive, hopefully. But we'll see. And for now, it's going to continue. I believe the announcer said they have 8 more games. That was Dortmund at the end of their victory, that there were 8 more games in the season, and then however their playoffs are structured. So I think all eyes from a soccer world, from different countries, and from different leagues' perspective, absolutely watch that. Because again, it's also UFC is physical contact, but it's down to, you know, mano a mano. You know, this is having teams together and teams that have physical contact. You know, when baseball puts out that they can get rid of a ball that's been touched by multiple people in a play in an inning and throw out a new one, they can do that. You know, and they have a lot of very specific things that they've thought of to make their sport as safe as possible. I'm curious. July 1 sounds like a real date for baseball in my book. One, because the 67-page thing came out. Two, you have players like Harper who, whether that structure is something that is real or just what he came up with or he's heard other people talk about it. 135 games, you know, and then a format in the World Series that was kind of cool, double elimination. And then if you do lose, you go to the single game to continue playing. I think what the biggest stumbling block for baseball will be is the pay structure. And I didn't realize that Clayton Kershaw was on the Dan Patrick show. And if we can figure it out medically, I'm optimistic that we can play. Dodgers left-hander offered his comments in response to Blake Snell, who doesn't want to play if he's not going to be paid what he thinks he's due. And Kershaw said he probably was a little bold in what he said, but we've already made a pay concession. And that's true. They have, by 25%. I thought by the end of this article, it says that Kershaw, if I get 50% and we play 50% of the season, then that would be good. Right now, he thinks that what they're being asked to take another cut is not fair to players. So I think that baseball may have great things in place for how they would do this, but until they come to an agreement with their union of what the pay structure is going to be, and everybody has to make these decisions, but they're, you know, these guys already collectively bargained and now they're being asked to change that. And so that could be the real stumbling block to people being able to see baseball, not go watch it, but even see it. 610-632-0975. So we have baseball on the table. And would you be upset if people, like, you know, especially the heavily paid, Bryce Harper was given $330 million a contract last year. You know, what's the number that he is his bottom? I cannot go lower than this. And will you be upset if that becomes the stumbling block of baseball being able to get underway in this reopening of American society? 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.